going to tell you a few stories today in anticipation of our stewardship Sunday. If you didn't bring your stewardship form, there are some forms and dues underneath on the outside end of the dues to fill out. There are also some that are in the back of the church. And a couple of things to consider as you consider your stewardship for the following year, 2012. Of course, we would like to collect everything today, but we know going into the year what kind of things you can expect from the church. Where do you get stewardship mailings? Anyone take a stewardship quiz? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Did y'all pass? I guess we'll see the forms of it. I had to have lunch with an executive from LifePath Hospice about 6 weeks ago, right before our festival. And as we were sitting at Seasons 52, which by the way is a very healthy restaurant, all meals over 500 calories there, as we were sitting there, I asked him, he works as a chaplain full time for hospice. And I said, well, where do you go to church? And he says, I go to some church, I can't remember the name of it now, but I go to church in New York City. And I said, well, I've already passed from there. He said, no, I spent my full time in hospice as a chaplain, I just go to church there. And I said, well, why do you go to church there? Is that your denomination? And he said, well, actually, it's a non-denominational church. And we started off 4 years ago in a warehouse. And we have services with kind of broken down chairs. And the purpose of our mission of that church is to help people in our city that are right here, people that are homeless, people that have substance abuse problems. And he said to me very seriously, he said, you know, when I joined that church, I said, I want to belong to a church that makes a difference in the world. I want to belong to a church that makes a difference in the world. Not just for the people I see in the news next week, but for all the people that I see. And he said, I live in New York City. He's definitely middle class, maybe upper middle class. He said, I've lived down there, but there's a real need for mission down there. So there's lots of people down there who are just totally lost in their lives. And he said, so our church, you know, does what it needs to do to keep the church operating, but the majority of our funding goes to help the people that are right there in New York City. Because we want to be one of the church that makes a difference in the world. So I reflected on that, and I knew immediately after our lunch and prayer was finished that I would talk about this on Stewardship Sunday, that when we make a pledge to the church, we want to be a church that makes a difference in the world. I said kind of jokingly before the festival, that just once in my life, when I tell people that I can see God's reward, God's church, I don't want them to say, you're a church at the festival, right? Just once in my life, I'd like to hear that. So far, it hasn't happened. But I want to, when I say, you want to see John's reward for that church, I want people to say, that's a church that makes a difference in the world. And I want to be a church that makes a difference in the world. We have a wonderful thing going here. We have the best worship that can be. We have some of the best people I've ever met in my life. But all the good worship, all the good feeling, all the good people, don't point to good unless we take that goodness and take it far, far away from people. And we take it, as we heard last Sunday in the gospel, to the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame, to make their world a better world. Now the second story, I confess I clipped from the internet, but it's a story about a village in Greece, known for its wine. The finest wine in the world comes from this particular village in Greece. And everybody there, their job is to make wine. And once a year, everybody drinks all the wine they have. They put it in one huge barrel in the middle of town. And they age the wine for 7 years. And then every year, of course, with the wine, they have 7 barrels. Everyone's very good for aging. But every year, the wine is ready. They tap that barrel, and people from all over the world come, and they enjoy the finest wine they can ever drink. And this is how the town makes its subsistence. Everyone in the town subsists on this event. Now, one year, one family, I see my wife, you guys call it Mr. and Mrs. Tsumumi. One family said, you know, times are tight. We don't want to contribute to the wine of the village. We're going to take our fine wine and we'll sell it elsewhere. a reason no one will know that we bring a barrel of water and actually a huge barrel of light, we ask, well, who knows that? This huge amount of light, a little barrel of water, no one will know the difference. So they went there, they put it with their water, they put the wine, and they went away and sold their wine to somebody else. And so, 7 years later, all the people of the town gathered together, all the visitors from around the world came to taste and buy the exclusive wine in the village, and they tapped the barrel, and out of the barrel came water. It seems that everyone in the village had the same idea. The law just put water in, and no one killed it. They all did. And so, down went the town, because that's where they got their subsistence from. And so the moral of the story is that when everybody put in the best they had, the town flourished. And when everybody, even they were the only ones, said, I would just put in nothing this year, then the town fell apart. And this is the way that the church works. When everybody puts in the best that they have, then this church is the best it can be. No offense to those who worship in other churches, but the finest wine, there are many good wines in the world, but the finest of them is the Orthodox faith. There's no other faith that goes back to the time of the apostles. There's no other faith that has kept unbroken traditions in the time of the first and second century. There's no other church on the planet that can say that. And yet, in this country, the Orthodox Church made sure of it brings you, because we keep that wonderful taste, that wonderful wine for ourselves. That our church, while it scores through the roof on tradition, can do a lot better in terms of generosity, and it can do, I think, a lot better in terms of social consciousness. Now, there's no money left over for social consciousness when we have just enough money to keep the lights on, as is the case in most churches. And I really can't complain here, because we actually have among the highest Christian rates, we actually have the highest Christian average in the entire Bay Area. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very happy about that. But this is not about how we rate next to the other people in the Bay Area, and it's not how we rate against the people next to us in the pews. It's about you and the wine that you have, the gifts that God has given you, whatever they are, and offering the first and the best of them into the whole community pot, so that then the pot of the community is tapped, outflows the richest thing that the world has ever seen, which would be the Orthodox faith when it's expressed in the way that God himself expects it to be expressed. So, when you're making your offering, think about that story of why making. And don't say, I'll rely on the person next to me to make the big contribution, or the overabundance of time, or I'll rely on somebody else to give your talent. Say, what can I give? What's the best I can give of what I have? And if you give the best of what you have, then God is going to take that, and he's going to reward you with the best. He's going to reward our community with the best. But when we hold back, we don't want God to hold back to us, and we certainly don't want other people to hold back when they think about our community. So this is really what stewardship is all about. Offering the best that you can into a community pot, and letting that community pot show the most exquisite thing that they're going to need to the world. And to have not just enough to pay the salaries and keep the lights on, to have something left over so that there's some energy, not just the money, but the time, the energy, to just be a socially conscious parent, to go out there and to make a difference. I don't know if you read the paper this morning. I didn't read the paper. I read it on my BlackBerry last night. It was the lead story of the paper today. It's a story about a girl who's struggling with drug addiction. And there's lots of people like that who are struggling with different things, whether they're drug addiction or bad marriages or struggling in school or just struggling to make ends meet in this bad economy. There's lots of people who are struggling with lots of different things. And it's the church's job to help those people, to minister to those people, to bring Christ to those people, to bring hope to those people. So whether you bring it with some of your time, whether you bring it with some of your talent, or whether you bring it with some of your treasure, it doesn't matter. The ultimate goal is that we as a church have to be presenting those things to the world. Now, some of your stewardship obviously pays my salary. And every time I go and I visit someone in the hospital, or every time I hear a confession, or every time I'm counseling somebody, if you've contributed to the stewardship, and you can ask salary of the priest, then you will directly are contributing to whatever the priest is doing. Right? So if you don't have the time, everybody has talents, and you can't say nobody has talent. If you don't have the time, then you offer treasure. You say that treasure enables those who have the time, like me, which is my vocation, to do the things that bring Christ to the world. And everybody, of course, has the talent. We need all those talents. We need people to sing in the choir. We need people to be the consultant. We need people to do Sunday school. We need people to be on the parish council, the festival, and all the other things that you see listed on there. So with that, this is the trust of the church. I ask you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, as a community, I don't know how many people are taking this morning, but how many families are represented here? That's the informed should end up in our training. We know what we need for stewardship this year. We need to get $300,000 at minimum just to balance the budget and do things. So let's say, imagine we had $400,000. It's not going to cost me more money to run lights here. I'm not going to take a raise. So we'll just take that leftover money and we'll put it into social consciousness. We'll make a difference in the lives of the people who are around us. That's the trust and stewardship. For those who have been stewards in the past, I thank you for that. For those who are in the office today, I thank you for that. I'm asking and praying God to offer that from your heart. And as a stewardship for all of us this week, Christmas deserves some amount of time. Because we can mark this occasion by coming here and kneeling and worshiping our Lord and taking this activity and as a stewardship offering to you. Here in the church, quietly praying for everybody in the pews that I see, praying for you, for your needs, as I go in, for your families, and asking the praying of God's blessing throughout the year. So let's ask our parish council, President, our students, and the board, and first to receive the pleasure of myself and the devil. We pledge in our home, we pledge every week. We make our pledge, we do it weekly. So every year we say, we'll do a little bit more each week, which hasn't been a whole lot each year. And then if I could ask you, the rest of the parish council and the leadership of our church, those that are in the church, would you please come forward and put your offerings here in the tray? You lead by example.